A Retrospect by Hudson Taylor. Chapter 20. This is the last chapter in this book being read by Peter John Parisius, also known as Brian Dean. Chapter 20. The Mission in 1894. The events sketched in the last two chapters have been more fully delineated by Miss Guinness in her interesting story of the China Inland Mission, which continues its history to the present day. It is indeed a record of the goodness of God, every remembrance of which calls for gratitude and praise. We can only here briefly mention a few facts, referring our readers to Miss Guinness's work for all details. After a voyage of many mercies, the Latimer party safely reached China, and during the first 10 years, station and outstations were opened in many cities and towns in four provinces which hitherto have been unreached by the gospel. At home, Mr. and Mrs. Berger continued their devoted service until March 19, 1872, I having returned to England the year before. Shortly after this, the London Council was formed, which has now for several years been assisted by an auxiliary council of ladies. A Scotch council was also formed in Glasgow a few years ago. A visit to America in 1888 issued in the formation of a council for North America, and a similar council for Australasia was commenced in Melbourne 2 years later. In the field, a China council was organized in 1886, composed of senior missionaries who met quarterly in Shanghai. Closely associated with the CIM are seven committees in England, Norway, Sweden too, Finland, Germany, and the United States, which send out and support their own missionaries who in China have the assistance of educational and other advantages of the CIM and who work under its direction. The staff of the mission in May 1893 consisted of 552 missionaries, including wives and associates. There were about 326 native helpers, 95 of whom were unpaid, working as pastors, evangelists, teachers, co-porters, Bible women, etc., in 14 different provinces. Duly qualified candidates for missionary labor are accepted without restriction as to denomination, provided they are sound in the faith and all fundamental truths. These go out in dependency upon God for temporal supplies, with the clear understanding that the officers of a mission do not guarantee any income whatever, and knowing that as they will not go into debt, they can only minister to them as the funds sent in from time to time will allow. But we praise God that during the past 28 years, such ministry has always been possible. Our God has supplied all our need and has withheld no good thing. All the expenses of the mission at home and abroad are met by the volunteer contributions sent to the offices of the mission without personal solicitation by those who wish to aid in this effort to spread the knowledge of the gospel throughout China. The income for the year 1892 was about £34,000 from all sources, Great Britain, the continents of Europe, North America, Asia, Australasia, China, etc. Some of the missionaries having private property have gone out of their own expense and do not take anything from the mission funds. Stations have been opened in 10 of the 11 provinces, which were previously without Protestant missionaries. From one of these, however, we have had to retire. The 11th province has been visited several times, and it is hoped that it is a permanent work may be begun soon. More than 200 stations and outstations have been opened in 14 of the 18 provinces, in all of which stations, either missionaries or native laborers, are resident. Over 6,000 converts have been baptized from the commencement, some 4,000 of whom are now living and in fellowship. The mission in 1902, the year 1894 in which the first edition of A Retrospect appeared, was marked by the erection of a large and huge premises for the work of the mission. And early in the following year, the houses in Parland Road, which had so far formed the home of the mission in England, were vacant, and the Newington Green, London North, became the address of the mission offices and home. From that date until the Boxer Operate in 1900, the mission made steady progress, the development of the work in China being accompanied by corresponding developments in the house departments of the mission in England, America, and Australasia. In January 1900, before the Boxer outbreak, there were, in connection with the mission, 811 missionaries, including wives and associates, 171 stations, 223 outstations, 387 chapels, 581 paid native helpers, 193 unpaid native helpers, 8,557 communicants in fellowship, 12,964 having been baptized from the commencement. There were 266 organized churches, 788 boarding scholars, 1,382 day scholars, 6 hospitals, 18 dispensaries, and 46 opium refugees. During the terrible year of 1900, when no fewer than 135 missionaries and 53 missionary children and many thousand Chinese Christians were cruelly murdered, the China Inland Mission lost 58 missionaries and 21 children. The records of these unparalleled times of suffering have been told in the martyred missionaries of the China Inland Mission and in Last Letters, both of which books will be found advertised into this volume. Apart from loss of life, there was an immense amount of mission property destroyed, and the missionaries were compelled to retire from their stations in most parts of China. The doors closed by this outbreak have all been reopened in the goodness of God. In those districts which suffered most from the massacres, the work has largely been one of reorganization. But throughout China, generally, there has been a spirit of awakening and a time of enlarged opportunities, which is a loud call for more men and women to volunteer to step into the gaps and fill the places of those who have fallen. Among recent developments, we would especially mention the opening of a new home center in Philadelphia. The total income of the mission in 1901 was £57,533. And the total in England alone for 1902 was £51,446, equal to $246,912. The total membership of the mission in June 1902 was 761. Current information about the progress of the work in China may be obtained from China's Millions, the organ of the mission. It is published monthly and may be ordered through any bookseller from Monsignor Morgan and Scott. The rest of this chapter goes into how much money they made and also what year the stations opened, when the work began. It goes on for several pages. This is the end of this book, a retrospect by Hudson Taylor.